Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God, and we pray that you this evening that you'd speak to us and open up your word so that we might understand it and then respond appropriately to your praise and glory. Amen. Now sometimes we're promised things that are too good to be true, and they are. So you may know those little bands, Q-Ray, which were metal bands, and they promised that if you wore it, that their bracelets would give immediate relief from arthritis, which of course they didn't. At one time, Kellogg's claimed that their cereals, and on their Rice Krispies packets and others, that they would support your child's immunity. But of course, it didn't. But what about if you were offered to work for a month, and you could either have at the end of a month a salary of £1 million, or if you work for the same job starting at one penny a day, but the pay would double every day, which job would you take? Well, if you're good at compound interest, you would take the one where the job starts with a penny a day, because you would realise that by the end of a month, that one penny would be worth over 10 million for a month's work. It seems very unlikely, doesn't it? But it's true. Now today, what we're going to be focusing in is about a promise that seems too good to be true. And it's a promise that God made to a man called Abraham. It sounds very unlikely. This man starts off as Abraham, but later God calls him Abraham, which means father of many nations. Now, pretty much everything in our passage sounds too good to be true, but it is true. So we're looking at Genesis 12. It's on page 13 of the Church Bibles, and it'd be a great help to have this passage open and to keep it open as we learn together from the Bible. So the first thing that our passage teaches us today is that God is gracious. God is gracious. Just please look at verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Now Abraham was born a very long time ago in a town called Ur, about 2000 BC. In the modern day country of Iraq, it's ruined now, but it was the home for Abraham. And the book of Joshua tells us that Abraham was just like anyone else of his day. There was nothing special about Abraham. He didn't know God. He worshipped and prayed to and followed idols. So Abraham isn't good. And in fact, Abraham doesn't deserve God's attention. Like the rest of human beings in the world, ever since the Tower of Babel, Abraham was in rebellion against God. But God speaks to Abraham, "Leave your homeland, leave everything you know, leave your family behind, and go to this land that I'm going to show you." Because God has a special plan for Abraham. And he has a special plan for the whole world. And his plan started with Abraham. So God calls out Abraham from among the nations to follow him. And God is being gracious. God takes the initiative. Just have a look at verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 12 and see what God is going to do. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." I've read that rather badly, haven't I? Let me just do it again. You see, verse 2, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." Do you get what's going on here? God says, "I will do it." In other words, God takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for Abraham to stop sinning. He doesn't wait for Abraham until Abraham is good enough. No, God is gracious. God takes the initiative. God speaks to Abraham and tells him his plans. And it sounds too good to be true. And God takes the initiative with us. He doesn't wait for us to stop sinning or wait until we're good enough, because that is never going to happen. We don't deserve his love. No, no, God takes the initiative with us, and he chose to send Jesus to save us. But God is gracious, and it sounds too good to be true, but it is true. Now, the second thing our Bible passage teaches us is that God makes promises. God makes promises. Look again at verse 1. The Lord has said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God promises Abraham three things. First, God promises Abraham a people. God says to him, "I will make you into a great nation." Now that promise seems very unlikely, because we're told that Abraham was 75 years old. And unless you are 75 years old, and there is a 75-year-old here today celebrating a birthday, 75 seems very old, doesn't it? If you haven't got there, that does seem very old. And Abraham and his wife Sarah, and she'll be called Sarah later, they've got no children. So the promise looks pretty unlikely. God promises that he's going to create a people from this childless couple. And it sounds too good to be true. But it is true if you read on in Genesis. God makes other promises to Abraham. God promises Abraham a place. Look, just as he says that in verse 1. "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Or just look at verse 7. When he gets to this place, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." It sounds great, doesn't it? But there is a little problem. Just have a look at verse 6. Do you see that? Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Do you see the problem? Yeah, it's already occupied. There are people living there. They're owning it. And so God's promise of a place, this land, sounds too good to be true. But it did come true. God did give Abraham's descendants the land. And God also promises protection or blessing to Abraham. Just have a look again at verse 2, where God says this, "I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So five times God says he's going to bless or bring blessing to Abraham. God will protect him. And God wants people to enjoy good gifts from him. And it means that God will care for, help, and protect Abraham all his life. But hang on a moment. Who was Abraham? What had he done to deserve this? Nothing. And I think sometimes we think really of Abraham as someone to look up to, you know, a sort of lovely grandpa who was good and lovely guy. But Abraham had been rebelling against God. Abraham has been serving idols. And at times in his life, and if you read on in chapter 12, you find that Abraham disobeys God. So God's promise to bless Abraham sounds too good to be true. But it is true. And please look again at that last bit of verse 3, at another promise from God. It's a great promise. "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." You see what he's saying? God has a plan, and it's for people throughout the world. God is telling Abraham that he has a plan to care for, help, and protect all sorts of people all over the world. And God's plan will come through Abraham's children, or their children, or their children's children. You know, one of his descendants. And so the promise to Abraham is not just for one person, no. It's for everybody. Now, What does Abraham do, having been given this promise? Does he say, well, that's really very nice, God, thank you very much, or certainly that's food for thought, that's someone I know who says that. No, what did he do? Just look at verse 4. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham obeyed God. He and his wife, together with his nephew and others, went with him to the land that God showed him. They left most of his family behind, and he left everything he knew. And it can't have been at all easy. He didn't hide the fact that he was following God. Did you see what he did? Get it? You know, no one else followed the Lord, but Abraham built altars and worshipped God for all to see. And just in the same way, it won't be easy for us if we put our trust in Jesus and follow him. Maybe there'll be times that if you do what God wants you to do, maybe at work or at school or with friends or how we live our lives, then it won't be very easy maybe to follow Jesus. We'll just have to make sacrifices and we may feel that we're missing out. But what we learn is we can trust God. His ways are best. God always keeps his promises. We need to think through that last promise a little bit more. The plan. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How can that be? Well, more than any of the other promises, this sounds too good to be true. Keep a finger in Genesis, but just turn on your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. And Galatians 3, verse 6. See what he says here. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. And so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now do you see what these verses are saying? They are saying that the promise is all about Jesus. See, the promise God gave to Abraham, that God would bring blessing to the world through Abraham, is really about Jesus. And it's for us to believe the promise about Jesus. See, God promised Abraham to bless all nations. You know, he quotes Genesis 12. And Abraham had a huge family. He had a son, and then he had grandchildren, and then he had great-grandchildren, and then great and many, many more children. And one of his far-off grandchildren was Jesus. And Jesus is the one who fulfills this promise to bless the people everywhere. Abraham was weak and sinful, but he trusted God. He believed God's promises, and so he was right with God. We too are weak and sinful like Abraham, but if we believe God's promises about Jesus, if we put our trust in Jesus' death on the cross to pay the price for our sins, we will be right with God. Now, isn't that amazing? We don't deserve it. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true, and God has done it all for us. Now, if we realise that it's good news, if we realise what God has done for us, that he's willing to forgive us, and that he's willing to bless us in Jesus, then we will want to share this good news. We want others to understand this message. We will want friends and family to understand this message too. And we will want to support those who do so with our prayers, our time, and our money. A few years ago, I think it's a true story, there were two men who were walking along across on a beach in Australia, and one of them picked up a bottle. It was sealed, and it had a message inside. In it, there was a contact address, and said that any person who made contact with this address would receive a large inheritance. One of the men said that was a hoax, and the message was worthless. Let's throw the bottle away. The other one said, no, I'm going to contact the address. He did. And he was given an inheritance from an eccentric millionaire who had died childless, and he got several million Australian dollars. See, the message seemed to be too good to be true, but it was true. Well, knowing God face to face, having your sins forgiven, enjoying heaven forever, these things which the Christian message talk about and which we recited about in the Creed seem too good to be true, but they aren't. It isn't. Genesis says that God is gracious, God makes great promises, and the best promise is all about Jesus. So let's rejoice in that, and let each one of us share God's promises and his plans with others, the great good news about Jesus. So as we sit, let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that your word, the Bible, gives us promises that sound too good to be true. Please help us to see that we can believe them, and we ask that we would especially rejoice in the promise made about Jesus, that if we trust in his death for us on the cross, that we're forgiven and adopted into your family as your precious children, and we look forward to an eternity with you forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.